You also had a quick belt. Amen. I am pleased that the Lord has seen fit to use this clay vessel. I have to do this before I get in trouble. I was warned on my way here to do that. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But it is a pleasure to represent my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm finding that happening in every conversation that I'm having every day. It just breaks into a witness. So I am truly grateful. And Sister Duncan, I want to thank you for that blessed, blessed song and the way you rendered it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy. Lord, it was wonderful being around your table this morning and feeling your divine presence and leading us in worship, Lord, and all that was shared. Lord, as your word goes forth this morning, we pray, oh God, that this clay vessel is hidden behind the cross of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the words that usher forth from these lips will come from the Holy Spirit himself. So, Lord, we commend this meeting, this time, this gathering to you. And we ask that you would have your way in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen. I must tell you that I was in deep thought for several weeks coming to this message. And I realized that this happens to be Youth Sunday. And I do see some youths here. The message that I believe that will be shared this morning is a hard one. And even as I read the scriptures, I shook my head and I looked and I realized we're in pretty much the same situation. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 1, but my opening verse is going to be from Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah chapter 1, starting at verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, the donkey his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointments. I'm going to stop there. Those are harsh words. Isaiah, this is even before he became the prophet. And this is after several warnings to Israel about their rejection of God. And I look at this and I realize that today we are in the same position. God is speaking to us and he is saying, you have rebelled. We don't know, or we have rejected God. How do we know that? Well, let's just look at what is happening around us. Now, many have mentioned what happened in Turkey. And we remember years ago what happened in Haiti. And we know around the world, these disasters are happening. And people are wondering, why is God doing this? He is not doing it. He is allowing it to get our attention. When it says here, the ox knows his master. This morning, how many of us thank God for the breath that we took? He said, amen, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to see another day. We have heard of how many people have been passing on into eternity. But it doesn't faze us to realize that one day we too will be going that way. Have we made that correction in our lives to recognize the God that created us? Listen, men are trying to create. Here again, they're trying to create. They are doing experimental things. What does the scripture say? The head, the foot, none of it is sound. And we look to our leaders, because when we see our leaders, what are they endorsing? They're endorsing same-sex marriages. And they're saying that is good. Someone sent to me this week where the Church of England apologized for their treatment of homosexual relationships. And I'm going and I'm trying to think, what did they apologize for? Did they not share the word of God? That God says that this is an abomination? I didn't say it. God said it. But he says to love the person, but hate the sin. So what should we be doing? Not hating them, but embracing them and teaching them what God wants them to know. As we look, you know, we try to figure out, and as we look at this verse 3, which really struck me, it says, the ox knows his owner. And the donkey, his master's crib, because he knows where he's going to get fed. If he doesn't come there, he's not getting any food. But not only that, he says, but my people do not consider. Isn't that something? We don't consider that God allows us the strength to go from day to day to earn income. He allows us the strength from day to day to go and do the things that we can do. We just heard about all our brothers and sisters who are laid aside, who cannot do for themselves anymore. They are waiting for somebody to come and render to them the services that they need. It is important that we understand this. Man thinks he is so wise, but you know, Romans chapter 1, if you would turn to me, just that so you can see it for yourself. Romans chapter 1, starting at I'm going to go down to verse 20. And it says this, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse for man today not to recognize that God is creator, not to recognize that God is sustainer. There are things all around. I had a discussion. I said, if we don't believe that God is creator, explain to me why you believe certain things. And I did this yesterday with the youngsters at Awana. And I asked them, I says, how many of you, and you can raise your hand if you want to, how many of you have seen gravity? And no one raised their hands. Well, a few of them picked up something and they did that. They said, see, I saw it. I said, no, you saw the effects of gravity, but you didn't see gravity. And you believe in gravity, right? Yeah, I believe in gravity. But you don't believe in God because you don't see him, huh? When was the last time you saw a breath? As a matter of fact, who put the breath in you? And they were quiet. But you know what's important about this verse? It says that man thought he was wise. And he was so wise that he became a fool. And I had to look it up. And in the commentary, this is what it says. When it says that he became a fool, it meant that with all the evidence present, he still rejected God. That's what made him a fool. So when you realize these things and you say to yourself, oh, I'm pretty smart. But when it comes to acknowledging God, you reject him because you didn't see him? There are a lot of things we don't see. The very diseases that are taking lives by storm, we don't see them. We don't see them when they enter our bodies. We don't see them when they tear our bodies apart. But they're there. COVID-19, everybody, oh, I don't believe in it. I don't want it. I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. You tell that to the million plus people that died from it. Tell them you don't believe it. They can't hear you, you see? But here's the thing. There's coming a day when God is going to return. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And what he's going to do is take away those of us who believe and who have accepted him and have not rejected him. Listen, over the past weeks, right from this very platform, nothing but prophesying that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning and evidences of what's happening. We're seeing now the earthquakes we're seeing, the volcanoes that we're seeing, the diseases that are coming. These are some of the signs. But when the Lord returns to reclaim his own, it's going to be multiplied many times over. And for those who are outside the body of Christ, there is no place for you to run to. The scripture says they're going to run to the mountains and say, fall on me. That's not going to hide you. That will bury you, but it won't hide you from God. It's not going to hide you from his wrath. As I continued on, it says there is coming a day when only the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted. Only him. None of man's creations, none of man's activities, the Lord Jesus alone. When I look and I realized even further, this particular portion was filled with so much pointing to where we are today. We have rejected him. We don't give him acknowledgement for what he has done. A brood of evildoers. We could listen. They go and they decide, okay, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. When the sisters sang, I come to the garden alone, that's where you have to go. The Lord always meets us in that garden. And he always wants to talk with us there and lets us know. How do I know that? In Genesis, even in Genesis, in the beginning, where did the Lord come in the cool of the day? He came to converse with Adam and Eve. That's where he came, in those quiet times. You know why? Because now you can hear him. You can't hear him in the calamity of the world because they are always trying to put one thing above the other. There's a steady competition for recognition. But you know, the Lord wants to speak with us one-on-one. He wants you right now to realize, I've come. There is only the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy man. There's a hunger in man today. I mean, a real hunger. And they're looking for every type of thing. Clubbing is becoming very big. We're going to the club. Work ends on Friday at 4 or 5. And at 5:30, we're in the club. We're in the happy hour, okay? Why? Because we're trying to fill that gap. We're trying to satisfy that emptiness that we feel. That emptiness can only be satisfied by one person, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. So forget about your partying. Forget about all those little things you're going to try to run around and do, because the more you try to fill it, the hungrier you are. You know, they often say that when you have Chinese food, an hour later, you're hungry. Okay? Well, when you do the things that the world wants you to do, an hour later, you're hungry. You're hungry because only the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly where to touch to make you feel satisfied. And until you have come to that point and say, Lord, come into my life. Lord, fill that empty hole in me. You're not going to be satisfied. You're going to be running from one thing to the next thing. I look at people that, one, they buy a nice house, but then they see something else and they want to sell it to buy a nicer house. They work and they get the car of their dreams. And then they see something else that comes out and they want to get that car or that vacation or that thing. Always seeking to fill the gap. Listen, Jesus is the answer. Turn away from temporary fixes and get the answer to eternal solutions. Other than that, you're wasting time and you're chasing ghosts. The only person that you want to be after is our Lord Jesus Christ. We pay farmers not to grow, to keep their fields idle, and people starve in countries around the world. That's man. God made provision that everyone can be fed, everyone can be clothed, everyone can be housed. But man thinks of ways to make it his profit. Let us look at our Lord and Savior, because I know that when the trump of the Lord sounds, it's over. You can't buy a ticket then. The passage has to be already booked. I know that when people are going places, they plan ahead, they book their rooms, they book their travel, and they're ready to go on the date scheduled. We don't know when the Lord's coming. So you can't wait to say, oh, I'm going to book just before that day. Because your day might come before you're ready to travel. Make sure that this day, today, February 12th, mark it down. Say, I want to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has my reservation. In John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, you is not talking to everybody. You is talking to those who have already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal indwelling Savior. Not to a fake religion. Not to a fake set of rules. But to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who we sang about this morning, who we worshiped this morning, and more importantly, who died on that cross. When our first hymn we sang, I Survey the Wondrous Cross, that word survey, do we know what that means? It means to look. It means to check out. To see the lay of the land. We have people, I don't know if any is in this congregation, but we have people who are surveyors. And you know what they do? They go out and they check out the land. If you have not checked out or surveyed the cross to understand what it means, what it stands for, what it represents, you need to do that today. Because what it stands for is a relationship being restored that was lost, and the price was paid, and it was at a dear cost. It wasn't cheap. And then we go on to realize that on that cross, our sins was nailed there. Christ was an innocent, and he bore our sin. And it's funny, my question, I'm going to wrap up in this moment. My question to you is this. If someone stood in the gap for you and took on the punishment you deserved, would you think you owed them something? Yes? Jesus did that. He stepped in the gap for you. And if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to talk to him and say, I accept the sacrifice you made for me. And I want to follow you for the rest of my life until that day when you come and take us home. And I guarantee you, the home where he's going to take us is a lot better than where we are today. I can only imagine what Isaiah must have gone through as he was talking to Israel and warning them about what God was saying. Because you see, they hadn't seen it yet. It was coming. And they were going, yeah, okay, fine. And you know what he likened them to? In verse 9, it says, unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small, and they say very small, remnant. That means a piece. We would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen. Today, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are sharing the gospel with one another, we are those remnant. And we need to do that. We need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone we come in contact with, however we do it, but with the love of Christ. And not only that, okay, because we have to remind them, Sodom and Gomorrah were utterly destroyed. You can go over into Asia or the Middle East and try to find even where a stone of Sodom and Gomorrah is. You might find the geographic location, but there is no semblance of where that city, those cities were. Their sin was so grave. And the mercy of God saved only a handful of people out of that, those cities. But understand this, even that was a remnant to let you know that God is a God of justice and God is a God of mercy. Because even in his just sending out that penalty to Sodom and Gomorrah, he still saved a handful of people. Let that be an example to you. Even with Israel, with all the destruction that they met because of their disobedience, he still reached out a hand of mercy to them. Let us not reject that hand of mercy that God is extending today through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us accept that sacrifice. Let us accept what the Lord has done. And let us be able to hold up the word of God to those who do not believe. Because where we're heading today is going to be far worse than what Sodom and Gomorrah was like. We are endorsing things that even they did not have in mind. And God utterly destroyed them. So you imagine what's going to happen with us. And his son was sent to redeem us from that. And we are rejecting it. According to his word, a fool is one who sees the evidence and rejects the truth. Don't be called a fool. Be called a son. And come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.